This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Word with Dr. Michael David Clay. There are some families that you just know the minute you meet them. There's a lot going on there. And I say that not only clinically, but I say that personally. And with that, probably you can do the same for the individuals that make up or comprise that family. And with that, you can get a pretty good idea how the family functions. It's not to say that loud can't exist in a functional family, or that dissent or argument is bad, or critical thinking, maybe even a bit of criticism, is all that terrible. Too much, though, could obviously mean that nobody gets anything done because it is so contentious, because it is so loud, because it's always a fight, it's always a struggle. The personalities of the individuals, and then as they're put together in composite and make up the family constellation or system, very dysfunctional. Can be. On the other hand, though, I've met those families that on the surface seem to be incredibly zen. Calm, peaceful, quiet. And similarly, personality-wise, the individuals that make up that family system kind of do the same thing. You really don't know much about them other than they just sort of feel good to hang around because they don't make waves, stir things up, offer too much in the way of opinion, pretty neutral. Seemingly so, they get along really, really well. And in that, then, you presume, well, this might be a good family to hang out with, individually or even as, again, in composite. But don't let that fool you. There could be a lot of dysfunction even in that type of family system. And what's the measure, then, of that? There's not enough communication. There's not enough sharing. There's not enough talking. There's not enough discussing. It goes to the opposite side. Now, I just introduced the principle to today's podcast, and that would be communication. And in that, kind of captured the primary communication models, if you're looking at dysfunction. And in that, we'll call it disorder. And in that, not only the system, but the individual. Psychology Today, January-February of 2024. Blueprint for a good parent-adult-child relationship. What a mature conversation looks like. The Relationship Audit by Sarah Epstein, licensed marriage and family therapist. A workable adult relationship between parents and children requires a delicate dance as it shifts from a relationship where the parents have full authority to one of mutual companionship. It requires excellent communication skills, flexibility, and effective boundaries. For adult children, a healthy bond with parents means not only working through past hurts, but also managing the lines of communication and deciding how much closeness feels right. For parents, it means owning their part in past hurts, respecting adult children's authority in their own life, and building a bond based on mutual interests. What can parents and adult children do to manage their relationship well? Audit it. The audit is an honest conversation about how the relationship feels to each person. It can take place face-to-face or side-by-side if that relieves the pressure of difficult subject matter. It can include questions like, how does our relationship feel to you? How do our phone calls feel to you? What do you most enjoy doing together? What are your least favorite parts of our relationship? How do you best like to chat and catch up? Do you feel supported, judged? If you could change one thing in our relationship, what would it be? Are there any past hurts that need addressing? And lastly, how do you hope to see our relationship change? When two people come together and willingly talk about their relationship, they can grow the confidence to know that if other tough conversations arise, they have the tools to create a meaningful discussion. The audit becomes proof of how open, mature conversations look or looks. It says, we can get through tough conversations. That's who we are. And again, Blueprint for a Good Parent-Adult-Child Relationship, What a Mature Conversation Looks Like, The Relationship Audit by Sarah Epstein, licensed marriage family therapist, January-February edition of Psychology Today, 2024. So what we have really identified so far in the podcast, with summary in mind. Passive is not good in terms of dysfunction. Aggressive is not good in terms of dysfunction. And the sweet spot is, once again, assertiveness. And the article captures very well what it should appear to look like, what it should look like, as with Blueprint for, I believe, assertive communications. And were it to be that we could take the Blueprint as a template and apply it and say, oh, this is it, we could even smack the label of assertive on it and say, this is a good Blueprint. It's construct upon assertiveness. Which means if you can't talk about it, you're not going to solve it. Or if you argue all the time about it, you're not going to resolve it or solve it. And with that, then you say what you think. You say, declare what you feel. You also identify and communicate what you want. What you want to happen. What's the desire. And you do that openly, honestly, believing that on the other side of that relationship dynamic, that the person is listening, showing empathy, genuine positive regard, and ability to adopt at least components, put themselves in your position and adopt components of your perspective, try to find relatability, be, again, open and receptive to all of those things. And as much as, again, that would happen, then when it comes to your turn to do the same thing for them, you can do that. And then it goes, should go, back and forth, asking good questions, such as those suggested in the article on today's podcast, and then allowing in similar manner conversation, communication, which always then, if properly done assertively, should lead to resolution. Sound advice, not too complicated, pretty much step by step, might take a bit of additional education and or coaching to get someone to participate in that way, to apply the template, to apply the blueprint. As well, there would be two for the sake of a relationship at minimum. The other as well. But it should go then well. And that's what, in some, I'm going to say lesser measure, psychotherapy is all about, psychological counseling. And when you do marriage and family therapy, then you start out with that, because that's the ideal. It's aspirational. Not only will it resolve a lot of problems, maybe it will in that way prevent the buildup of problems that either being aggressive or passive brings with it. We never resolve anything because we never get past the argument or we never talk about it. And it's fostering, facilitating of not only the implementation of a model such as that, but there's some coaching that you can do in psychotherapy, psychological counseling, where the whole family can sit down, if it's a couple, if it's a whole family, and participate. And there's a lot of good work that can begin to be done, or that can take place, that can be done. And it's always for the better. You're teaching someone how to do it, and then you're helping them to do it, and then they take it home and implement it, generalize it to their home circumstance, and ideally, they don't need you anymore as a psychological counselor, a psychotherapist. Now, I said to a lesser degree, the problem is not necessarily a lack of knowledge and education. The problem is not necessarily good resource in terms of coaching. I don't know that the problem is entirely motivation either. I think you can have good motive. The problem is, by the time that most individuals get to the place of adult, and you're speaking of child and parent as now both adult status, personality is already pretty much established, and personality is very difficult to change. Actually, your personality takes on characteristically, in this way that we've described the model of communication on the podcast today, that becomes somewhat of an attribute that generalizes, speaking of generalization, to your entire personality. People, in personality terms, can be descriptively so aggressive. They do everything aggressively. They solve all problems with all people, with all persons, in some aspect of that. In the same way, there are those personality types that are, generally speaking, more passive. They do that with just about everyone, including themselves, I should say, which adds another dimension to the problem, because if you can't really be assertive with yourself, and we call that introspection in an adaptive, healthy sort of way, you're probably not also going to be able to resolve much in the way of problems, because you're not going to be able to fully come on board with whatever then the solution might be. If you can't practice empathy and perspective taking with yourself, you're not going to be able to do that so well with others. So this idea of assertiveness is spectacular. It's big. It's huge. It's one of, communication-wise, it's, as communication is, one of the most critical and important skill sets anyone can acquire. Whether as an individual talking to yourself or communicating with those people in your life, particularly the significant others that you come home to every day, you go to work to, you see, you engage every day on a day-to-day basis. It's a lot of time. It's a large measure or proportion of your life. But if you've left childhood, the models have not been good, parental models, and as you then pass through that critical sort of moment where you become an adult, critical stage of development into adulthood, and you really then take all of this in terms of socialization with you into adulthood, it's become you. You've become it. You, oddly enough, will probably gravitate toward people who do it the same way you learned it, in socialization terms, simply because that's what you're familiar with. You might even end up finding yourself marrying, if that's what you choose to do. And if not marriage, then in some other committed, significant other way, relationship-wise, you're going to be attracted to and attract individuals who will really continue to allow you, maybe even encourage you, to practice what you learned as a child. If it's an aggressive dimension, it's going to be with a lot of that contention that I mentioned at the very onset of today's podcast. If it's going to be the opposite, dichotomously, binary, where it's passive, they're going to be that way. There may be a little bit of a, at times you're passive, they're aggressive, that gets into that too. But really what we want, again, is the ideal of assertive, which is a much more balanced relationship. And that takes a lot of work. It is not only motive, it's not only knowledge, it's not only coaching as a resource. It takes commitment. And so this audit, it becomes something that you should probably, as a maintenance tool, incorporate into your ongoing long-term dimension, because of it being a long-term relationship, as with dimension, incorporate it as a regular feature of that relationship. I think you should do that. These are awfully good questions. Even individually with yourself, do an audit. Especially if you know, and again, knowledge doesn't solve problems. Motive alone doesn't solve problems. Even resource combined with knowledge, combined with motive, doesn't solve problems. It takes doing them to solve problems. But that's where the skill sets then really become solidified, crystallized, where you become that instead of this that you are. You become that as what you want to be. But you can't do it overnight. And it may take some practice, add dimension of time, and with that, then, a continual feedback loop. But guess what? We are indeed empirical creatures. That innately is descriptive of how innately we learn. Implicitly descriptive of how we innately learn. It's empiricism. It is what then graduated becomes science. But if you can put that on and do that assertively, you're pretty close to objectivity. And then that becomes, in that audit sort of way, a good feedback loop. Is it working? Are we doing better? Are we resolving problems more? And I do believe that's important as well. Acknowledging the successes. Acknowledging the progress. Taking a moment and reflecting on how you've been able to make progress. And that, once again, should be done individually as much as within the constellation of a family. And it may help if you do have a coach who you can report to, who will ask maybe these questions on your behalf and say, well, how is it going? Let's measure the progress. Is this working? Are we accomplishing anything? Let me give you some feedback, or let's take a moment and give ourselves some feedback. And truly, the psychotherapy relationship, the psychological counseling relationship, needs to be assertive as well. And this all presumes that your psychological counselor has gotten to such the point of actualization of this highest order of skill set. We're now out of fight or flight sort of thinking, emotional thinking. You're able to sustain higher ordered, rational, reasoned, logic-driven, hypothetical, logic-driven, science again, empiricism, the template. You can apply that as with modeled by your therapist, your psychological counselor. Presumptive, they've gotten there. And I only say that because we all know that psychological counselors, psychotherapists are human. Some have gotten there better than others. And that shouldn't necessarily mean that don't see them. Just realize they may only be able to take you so far, and you may get a bit of that even in your interactions. What is that? All these things we've been speaking of in the way of dysfunction and disorder, even in your relationship with your psychological counselor, your psychotherapist. So when I say we and feedback and how are we doing, I mean that genuinely. It's good feedback for me. It's good feedback for them. But if we apply this model that the article is very good at capturing, we can ask these questions as with the audit, relationship audit, realizing that it's not only between us and them, the others in our life, it's us and us, it's within ourselves. I think that's a good instrument. It's a good tool. It's a good practice. It's maintenance. It keeps things from building up. Things don't get backlogged. Emotions and feelings don't get stuffed, as we used to call it. We're current, we're in the moment, we're clear-headed, we're not thinking emotionally, we're thinking rationally, logically. We're applying research, we're being educated, we're educating each other, we're sharing our knowledge base, we're sharing our ability to validate, even so, each other. To the extent or degree that, how could that not help? Not only families get along, but would that not be a great model for the rest of our culture, society, the world? And that really isn't what we're seeing. Somebody is not teaching. Somebody is not educating. Somebody is not communicating. somebody is practicing way too much aggression. Somebody is practicing way too much passivity. And then the combination, I didn't mention it earlier, but there is passive aggressive, where you don't say it, but you end up acting it out in such hostile dimensions. You get the worst of both at the same time. We need to do a better job. That's what this podcast is about, trying to educate, inform, also foster, facilitate, and encourage. Psychological counseling can be good. Psychotherapy can be good. Licensed marriage and family therapists help. But it's not restricted to just that. It's not restricted to somebody who does just individual counseling, or someone whose license does not have the LMFT afterwards. Psychological counselor, social worker, psychologist, psychiatrist, licensed marriage, family therapist. It's pretty core and base to just psychotherapy in a general, generic sort of way, a good practice model. And once again, we do a bit of that on the podcast. We can't argue because you can't really speak back to me, but I presume I'm not triggering you too much. Should you want to find a psychological counselor, any of those particular disciplines, anyone that does psychological counseling, psychotherapy, I want to remind you, Psychology Today has a great directory. I think it's great. In one place, you can find numerous providers, and all of them are a bit unique and have specialties in this and specialties in that. Maybe, again, it's geographical, maybe it's telehealth. You'll find someone, and you'll get a pretty good sense if it's someone you want to reach out to, and they can get back with you, and hopefully, if you would want assistance, you can take that next step and get it. You can also reach out to us should you want to. drmdclay@thewordhouse.com. You can find us at thewordhouse.com. You can call 304-523-WORD, which is 9673. We're on Facebook and YouTube at Word House. But you can also come back for the next edition of Word with Dr. Michael David Clay. And until we do get that chance to meet again, I do want to wish you as well the best of good mind health, good behavioral health, good general health, good life. And just say sincerely, thanks.